Welcome to Learning English, a daily 30-minute program from the Voice of America. I'm Jonathan Evans.
And I'm Ashley Thompson. This program is aimed at English learners, so we speak a little slower, and we use words and phrases, especially written, for people learning English.
We also explain words and language rules, all while bringing you stories and information from around the world. Today on the program, you will hear stories from Brian Lynn, Jill Robbins, and Alice Bryant. We will also tell you what's trending today, and Steve Ember and Shirley Griffith will present a special People in America report. But first, here is Brian Lynn.
Samsung says it has permanently halted production of its Galaxy Note 7 smartphone after continued overheating problems. The company announced Tuesday it had stopped manufacturing and selling the troubled devices. Samsung said it was acting to protect the safety of phone users. The company issued a worldwide recall of Galaxy Note 7 devices in early September after receiving several reports of overheating problems. The overheating was linked to problems with batteries that caused some phones to catch fire. After the recall, Samsung began replacing customers' phones with new Note 7 devices that had a different battery. Those devices were supposed to be safer, but there were numerous reports of those replacement phones also overheating. South Korean safety authorities are investigating the problems with the replacement devices. They have not yet identified a cause. The company is offering to give buyers their money back or exchange the Note 7 phones for other Samsung models. The Federal Aviation Administration issued a warning to airplane passengers last month about the Galaxy Note 7 phones. It told passengers not to use devices during flights. It also urged them not to put the phones in checked baggage. Samsung is the world's largest maker of smartphones, with nearly twice the world market share of its main competitor, Apple. Jonathan Rubini is an independent technology analyst. He says, in addition to the actual smartphone problems, the company has also been criticized for the way it dealt with the first phone recall.
This is very damaging for Samsung, and the fact that they messed up on the recall makes things extremely worse. Clearly, after new phones have been released after the recall, and the new phones have issues as well, there's something else in the phone that Samsung missed and they should be fixing.
Troy Stangarone is with the Washington-based Korea Economic Institute. He told VOA the Galaxy Note 7 problems have already hurt Samsung's public image and could greatly affect sales.
Not only is it lost sales or replacement sales, but you're also talking about damage to Samsung's reputation. Will consumers now question one, whether other Samsung products also face challenges, and then simply decide to go with an alternative brand, be it Apple or someone else?
I'm Brian Lynn.
Every day, more than 100 women of Afghan ancestry meet at a home in New York City. The women learn together in rooms that are crowded with chairs and small tables. They come to learn about the necessities of life in the United States, such as getting a permit to drive a car or reading and writing in English. They also can get help with something as complex as dealing with an abusive husband. The program is a project of a women's support group called Women for Afghan Women, or WAW. The attendees are a mixture of single, married, and divorced women. Some are new arrivals to the U.S., while others have been here for several years. Their advisors and teachers are mostly Afghan Americans who are naturalized U.S. citizens. WAW was formed in the Queens area of New York before the September 11, 2001 attacks. Its aim is to help Afghan women learn to read and stop violence in their families. The group receives money from the federal and state governments. WAW expanded its program after the U.S.-led invasion of Afghanistan. It launched efforts to educate the women and discuss community fears. An estimated 20,000 Afghan families live in and around New York City. That number comes from Afghan consulate officials and local Islamic centers. Traditionally, the Afghan community has been a patriarchal society, leaving women with less control. That can lead to physical abuse, fewer chances for an education, and other issues because of a lack of rights.
Manisha Nadiri, WAW's director, said, "We're trying to make sure Afghan women are safe. Our goal is for women to have access to education, justice, so they can be normal citizens." The group also wants to change old customs. Nadiri explained that it has not been easy to stop years of gender inequality. "We work with the communities, not just women, but with the families, because Afghanistan is a patriarchal society, and women don't want to leave their families. They just want to be safe within their families," Nadiri said. Sitara Momand ended her marriage and came to New York in 2013 with a young daughter. "I was married to a very violent husband," Momand told VOA. In Afghanistan, she and her husband lived with her husband's parents. She experienced violence from both her husband and his parents. "I left Afghanistan and went to Pakistan to escape the violence. Then I came to America," she said.
Sitara Momand heard about WAW after arriving in New York. she reached out to the group for help. She needed money. WAW gave her a job cleaning their space. Later, Momon found her own place to live. WAW helped me get public benefits, helped getting my child in school, and helped me learn to read and write in English, said Momon. She continues to work at WAW and has a second job in a restaurant. She said she was very happy to be living in America. Yalda Afif, a program planner at WAW, deals with many women who have been abused by their husbands and their husbands' parents. I have seen terrible abuse, sexual abuse by their partners, Afif told VOA. But these women never told anyone about the abuse. Then, after being in Queens for a while, the women began to trust WAW. Afif said she learned more about what was really going on, the root of the problems. She added, "We try to make the family understand that they cannot control everything. They have to share with their wives. If a woman is empowered and gets a job, for example, she is helping to remove some of the pressure from the man," Afif explained.
In addition to helping women get jobs and places to live, WAW places great attention on education. The group assisted Fauzia Nuri, a naturalized U.S. citizen who has been in the United States for 8 years. It helped her prepare for her citizenship exam and helped her get a driving permit. Nuri is happily married with 4 children. "This is home sweet home for me," she said. "I like the feeling of being safe." WAW also offers the Young Leadership Program, where it teaches skills to younger Afghan Americans. The program is mostly young women, some as young as 15 years old. "Some had been forced into marriages they didn't want," said Nadiri. "We teach them empowerment, how to ask for their rights, what their rights are, what the rights of women in Islam are, and what the rights of the family are. And, you know, education is the key to it, to everything," Nadiri said. She noted that since the girls' leadership program began in 2005, not one girl in the community has been forced to marry.
WAW has expanded its programs to Afghanistan. It has child support centers in 13 Afghan provinces and provides legal support to abused women through its center in Kabul. Because it tries to promote acceptance of women in the labor force, the organization has struck a nerve in the male-dominated society. "We've been targeted by the Taliban," Nadiri said. In 2014, 2 of the WAW staff were kidnapped by the Taliban. She said the Taliban released the women in 2015 because of help from local Afghan communities. "Change can be very difficult," she said. I'm Jill Robbins.
And I'm Alice Bryant.
This is what's trending today. Forget the presidential candidate with his name in gold lettering on tall buildings in New York City. and forget his main opponent, the woman who visited 112 countries while serving as America's top diplomat. What the United States apparently needed in this election campaign season was an undecided voter who had a question. They needed Ken Bone. Bone was one of several undecided voters chosen to ask questions at the presidential debate last Sunday in St. Louis, Missouri. Each one said they had not yet decided on whether to vote for Donald Trump, the candidate of the Republican Party, or Democratic candidate Hillary Clinton. During the debate, Bone asked Clinton and Trump, "What steps will your energy policy take to meet our energy needs, while at the same time remaining environmentally friendly and minimizing job loss for fossil power plant workers?" Ken Bone's few seconds on national television has made him famous on social media and beyond. Since the debate, Bone has appeared on several television programs. And that's what's trending today.
Tuesday was the anniversary of the birth of a famous American, Eleanor Roosevelt. She was the wife of President Franklin Roosevelt. She helped her husband in many ways during his long political career. She also became one of the most influential people in the United States. Steve Ember and Shirley Griffith have more.
Anna Eleanor Roosevelt was born in New York City in 1884. Eleanor's family had great wealth and influence. But Eleanor did not have a happy childhood. Her mother was sick and nervous. Her father did not work. He drank too much alcohol. He was not like his older brother, Theodore Roosevelt, who was later elected president. When Eleanor was 8 years old, her mother died. 2 years later, her father died. Eleanor's grandmother raised the Roosevelt children. Eleanor remembered that as a child, her greatest happiness came from helping others.
In the early 1900s, many people were concerned about the problems of poor people who came to America in search of a better life. Eleanor Roosevelt could not understand how people lived in such poor conditions while she and others had so much wealth. After she finished school, Eleanor began teaching children to read in one of the poorest areas of New York City called Hell's Kitchen. She investigated factories where workers were said to be badly treated. She saw little children of 4 and 5 years old working until they dropped to the floor. She became involved with other women who shared the same ideas about improving social conditions. Franklin Roosevelt began visiting Eleanor. Franklin belonged to another part of the Roosevelt family. Franklin and Eleanor were married in 1905. In the next 11 years, they had 6 children.
Franklin Roosevelt began his life in politics in New York. He was elected to be a state legislator
Later, President Woodrow Wilson appointed him to be Assistant Secretary of the Navy. The Roosevelts moved to Washington in 1913. It was there, after 13 years of marriage, that Eleanor Roosevelt went through one of the hardest periods of her life. She discovered that her husband had fallen in love with another woman. She wanted to end the marriage, but her husband urged her to remain his wife. She did. Yet her relationship with her husband changed. She decided she would no longer play the part of a politician's wife. Instead, she began to build a life with interests of her own. In 1921, Franklin Roosevelt was struck by the terrible disease polio. He would never walk again without help. His political life seemed over, but his wife helped him return to politics. He was elected governor of New York 2 times.
Eleanor Roosevelt learned about politics and became involved in issues and groups that interested her. In 1922, she became part of the Women's Trade Union League. She also joined the debate about ways to stop war. In those years after World War I, she argued that America must be involved in the world to prevent another war. "Peace is the question of the hour," she once told a group of women. "Women must work for peace to keep from losing their loved ones." The question of war and peace was forgotten as the United States entered a severe economic depression in 1929. Prices suddenly dropped on the New York stock market. Banks lost their money. People lost their jobs.
Franklin Roosevelt was elected president in 1932. He promised to end the Depression and put Americans back to work. Mrs. Roosevelt helped her husband by spreading information about his new economic program. It was called the New Deal. She traveled around the country giving speeches and visiting areas that needed economic aid. Mrs. Roosevelt was different from the wives of earlier presidents. She was the first to become active in political and social issues. While her husband was president, Mrs. Roosevelt held more than 300 news conferences for female reporters. She wrote a daily newspaper commentary. She wrote for many magazines. These activities helped spread her ideas to all Americans and showed that women had important things to say.
One issue Mrs. Roosevelt became involved in was equal rights for black Americans. She met publicly with black leaders to hear their problems. Few American politicians did this during the 1930s and 1940s. One incident involving Mrs. Roosevelt became international news. In 1939, an American singer, Marian Anderson, planned a performance at Constitution Hall in Washington. But a conservative women's group refused to permit her to sing there because she was black.
Mrs. Roosevelt was a member of that organization, the Daughters of the American Revolution. She publicly resigned her membership to protest the action of the group. An opinion study showed that most Americans thought she was right. Eleanor Roosevelt helped the performance to be held outdoors around the Lincoln Memorial. More than 70,000 people heard Marian Anderson sing. Mrs. Roosevelt was always considered one of the strongest supporters of the civil rights movement.
The United States was forced to enter World War II when Japanese forces attacked the American naval base at Pearl Harbor, Hawaii, in 1941. Mrs. Roosevelt made many speeches over the radio, praising the soldiers she saw on her travels. She called on people to urge their government to work for peace after the war was over. Franklin Roosevelt died in 1945, soon after he was elected to a fourth term as president. When his wife heard the news, she said, "I am more sorry for the people of this country than I am for myself."
Harry Truman became president after Franklin Roosevelt died. World War II ended a few months later. The leaders of the world recognized the need for peace. So they joined together to form the United Nations. President Truman appointed Mrs. Roosevelt as a delegate to the first meeting of the UN. A newspaper wrote at the time, "Mrs. Roosevelt, better than any other person, can best represent the little people of America, or even the world." Later, Mrs. Roosevelt was elected chairman of the UN Human Rights Commission. She helped write a resolution called the Universal Declaration of Human Rights. That declaration became an accepted part of international law.
Mrs. Roosevelt spent the last years of her life visiting foreign countries. She became America's unofficial ambassador. She returned home troubled by what she saw. She recognized that the needs of the developing world were great. She called on Americans to help the people in developing countries. A few years before she died, Eleanor Roosevelt spoke about what she believed in life. This is what she said.
"This life always seems to me to be a continuing process of education and development. What we are preparing for, none of us can be sure. But that we must do our best while we are here and develop all our capacities is absolutely certain. We face whatever we have to face in this life, and if we do it bravely and sincerely, we are probably accomplishing that growth which we were put here to accomplish."
Eleanor Roosevelt gave the best she had all through her life. People around the world recognized their loss when she died in 1962.
And that's our program for today. Listen again tomorrow to learn English through stories from around the world. I'm Jonathan Evans.
And I'm Ashley Thompson.